With lashings of country news, science fiction views, top interviews and a clear audio muse, it's the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Yay! And they could be talking merrily away with all sorts of other areas happening. But then again, that's the joy of a photographer, a publicist and an ace undergraduate. Jessica, of course, since last we spoke, not only have you been to the Isle of Man, you've been to Krakow, you've been to Poland, you've just been doing a world tour.
Yes,
after a fashion.
Been all around the globe. Well,
but
almost.
But not Nashville. Not Nashville, as
not, not Nashville, I'm sorry. Not yet.
It'll happen. Yeah, it's a whole routine.
Fingers crossed.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure Cameron and Julia Tilbury will actually lay out a Nashville welcome when the day comes when the Jessica Ward.
There you go.
So, exactly. just said it. The beauty of actually arriving on time, you see Emma Tinson, who we thought would be here. No sign at all.
I know.
Hopefully she's okay.
Letting us down.
Anyway, life happens. As we know, Cameron, because it's what happens when we're busy making other plans. Nick has just completed, together with Kat and Sue Royce, the second Nick's Vision, or Sound and Nick's Vision show for the world. And it'll soon be released on podcast and indeed on the Siren channels in the very near future. How did you feel it went, Nick?
It was great. Wonderful fun.
There we are, you see. I mean, just
we'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll just need the edge.
I see exactly where you're going there.
Nice.
Got his finger on the pulse. Much as indeed Julia Tilbury always has, because she's an ace singer-songwriter and songstress in her own way from, I believe, the Lone Star State. And it's over to you, Cameron, to introduce your wife. So much better than her indoors, you know, I think, because I don't think that would actually go too well. I mean, maybe in New York, but it's not going to work in Nashville. But her own unique scenario. Cameron, over to you.
This is a track that Julia wrote with Alan Glass. And if the name Alan Glass may sound familiar for those of you that read liner notes, Alan has produced such talented artists as Earth, Wind & Fire, Aretha Franklin, and tons of others. He and Julia go way back. He lives in London and produces a lot of artists from there. And they actually co-wrote the song that came out for Nikki Wells' books. So they have quite a tie-in together. They wrote this song a bunch of years ago, and I think you're going to like it. It's a pretty ballad called... I forgot the title.
Oh no! Let's take you back to the wedding day. Work your way through that side of things, and we'll get there. Yeah, honestly.
I had this all in my head, and
it's okay. Once again, Julia saves the day.
The magic of middle age. The song is called "I Promise," written by Alan Glass and Julia, and here's Julia singing it on Siren 107.3 FM.
Splendid. We were just getting so into the moment there that, you know, to receive the sort of conclusion of the crescendo of that, to hear that we might have a couple of Norfolk listeners as well. And we're talking Norfolk, England, as opposed to Norfolk, Virginia here, presumably.
Yes, we are.
Very exciting. That's very nice. And Cameron Tilbury in full force there, remembering his wife's lost scenario, I promise. Jessica, you have a question you want to put to Cameron about when was it recorded? Go.
Yeah, when was that song produced or recorded?
That's a demo. That was actually a demo that was done probably about 20 years ago.
Wow. No.
Well, the production's a little...
That's almost before Jessica was born. In fact, probably is before Jessica was born.
It might have been, yes.
Unbelievable. It's still... But the quality still shines, doesn't it, Kat?
Do you know, it's beautiful. I love Jolie's voice. It's so pure, and the melody on that was so gorgeous. It just all flowed together. It was lovely, lovely.
And look at the wonderful way she's chilling out there with, of course, the gangster mobile, which I believe is a Chrysler from that point of view. Very nearly actually had a Chrysler to actually replace my Rover, but at the end of the day, nobody would insure it. It's understandable. There we are. I won't go into the anxiety of Chryslers and how they stopped making them, but that's by the by. What did we make of...
They're now owned by Fiat. So, you know, it means it's going to have to be repaired a lot.
Don't get started on Italian cars. Not before we're due to go to Jersey and speak to Anna Lewis and then Stephen Leatherland, the director-producer of the Magical Mozart by Moonlight tour. What did you make of I Promise, Nick?
Good track. Fantastic vocal. Very good.
As Lovely. Ever, exciting things happening, which I think in MapleStar Music and Media you'll be aware of with respect to Nick Elliott, a rock photographer. But we can't say too much other than we've already started talking, Cameron, about a year in the life of Nick Elliott.
I don't think there's enough time to do a year in the life because he puts so much into the year, so much more than the average everyday human being. So it's just so much to cover.
Just so much. It's smarter than the average photographer, basically, as in a boo-boo bay. Fantastic. Okay, Kat, have you got any questions you want to put to Cameron at this stage, such as life in Nashville and you know, happenings there?
Yeah, what's going on over there? Is the weather good there in Nashville, Cameron, or is it a bit cool?
Actually, we've got another beautiful day, up to about 60 again today. Blue sky, sunshine, it's great. And it's just kind of leading up. Next month is CRS here in Nashville, which is Country Radio Seminar. So for 3 days, we've got radio people from all over the world coming in, programmers and stuff, and there's seminars and showcases and all sorts of things that go on all through town. So we'll
Sounds
be part
great.
Of that. That comes up next month, and that just kind of starts off, you know, the whole spring and summer stuff going on in Nashville. It's huge.
And are you feeling better, Cameron? Because that's the important thing. I mean, are you
getting there?
Yeah. Well, was it just flu? Was it just kind of overwork? Was it overindulgence?
No, it's that really bad cold that's going around where it just hits you all of a sudden, and it's just like a ton of bricks. Normally, I have a couple of days warning, but this just hit me Wednesday, pretty much after I was done the show, and then it just was awful.
Have you been hanging out with who created your cold bug that you actually had? Was it Def Leppard, Nick? Or
Joe Elliott. We blame Joe Elliott, really, because Joe tipped up at this.
A lot of people blame Joe Elliott for stuff.
Poor Joe.
Although we are, Joe Elliott, if you're out there,
he speaks highly of you.
You do have a right of reply. It's 12 minutes past 5 o'clock on Siren 107.3 FM.
As, not me. I'm a fan. Well, I'm a fan.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are.
You just maintain that. It's always great stuff. But as we say, in the words of Bill Coles, he said, ask him a couple of new questions. So, first of all, Cameron, have you ever been chased by a wild animal?
Yes, I have, actually.
I thought you might have said yes. And a second one, of course, is a little successor to Will You Return. Have you ever tasted any sour milk?
I have, because I have allergies so badly here in Nashville. I can't smell anything.
Oh, no.
So I haven't been able to smell anything for about 3 years.
Oh,
so I can't tell by sniffing the milk.
But the good news is,
it's got the little floaters in the coffee that I can tell.
I think we're going to go back to have you had a really interesting chat, and are you coming back again? We'll see. I'm piloting these. Here's a Cameron Tilbury lookalike. It's David Sowell. Bye-bye, Cameron.
New Orleans,
outrageously, the suggestion has been put forward that Starsky, a.k.a. Paul Michael Glazer, has actually shuffled off this mortal coil. We'll find that out. That was David Sowell, who definitely has nobody but a fool or a preacher. I don't know, in Jersey, Anna Lewis, anything to say about Starsky or Hutch, or is it a case of...
They were actually my heroes when I was a teenager. Yeah. There's something about the hair and the clothes and the style and the panache. I mean, I think every teenage girl I knew had a crush on either one of them, or both of them, actually.
Well, I thought it was a fairly okay show. I mean, I must admit I didn't have a crush on either of them. But and I'd also say from a health and safety point of view that actually in the opening, just asking Hutch if you actually leap onto a car and hit it in the way that David Searle actually did land on the car roof, it's obviously going to do your back in. And indeed he said so.
Yeah.
So, you know, just don't do it. If you're thinking of actually jumping from a fire escape in America onto the top of a car, please do not do it. It's not that we're health and safety mad here, but it's just an important point. So in the studio today, Anna, we have ace photographer Nick Elliott. We've got Kat, publicist extraordinaire from the Cambridgeshire region, is it fair to say?
Around
Cambridgeshire, exactly. And, of course, the return of Jessica Ward, who's just returned from Poland.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. So whom do you wish to go to, Anna Lewis?
I think I'll go to Jessica, who's come back from Poland.
So glamorous.
Was it as cold as it is here?
It was freezing. It was the average temperature was -6.
Oh my God.
So I had to wrap up before I ventured out, but it was good. It was good.
You've always got some Polish vodka that you could actually use.
I did have some mulled wine.
Schnapps.
Oh, I'm not much.
Mulled wine is good, you know.
Yeah.
As long as you don't go for the cabbage or Paul Michael Glaser is 71, okay, and still alive.
Is
so
he
just, you good. Know, just clarifying that.
Apologies, Paul.
Lord above.
Rumours of your death are grossly
as bad as saying Shaken Stevens has popped his clogs. Or indeed, you know, as I said a couple of years ago to Gene Bruce Scott, Ernest Borgnine, also gone. Of course, he has now since then, so I didn't want to set up a curse here. But still, Paul Michael Glaser is still going strong, the Lord.
Mm.
Yeah. So he's on our list of possible contexts for the show, so I can't say he's popped his clogs, we'd have to try tapping the table. Anyway, other ways are routine from that. Have you ever been to Poland yourself, Anna?
Sorry, have I been,
ever been to Poland yourself? Yes.
No, I haven't. I would like to go. My daughter went a few years ago on a school trip, and they went to Warsaw and Berlin, mm-hmm. and she also went to Auschwitz, which she said was extremely surreal.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up playing snowball fights.
If only they'd done that back in the 1940s, the world would have been a much better place. Mm-hmm. But still, Jessica, you'd had that experience, of course.
Yes,
how did you find it?
I did go to Auschwitz. I don't know, I didn't get very emotional, but it just made you more aware of the life that they lived back then and just opened your eyes up to the horrors, I suppose. Like, you can't really get that experience from a classroom or just reading a magazine or news article about it.
I think the vital thing is that people don't forget, but equally you don't focus on the past. You need to acknowledge it and, as well as moving on, also prevent it happening again. It,
exactly.
it can't happen. I mean, it was such a dreadful period of 20th century history that changed, because at the end of the day you could argue, yes, without a certain Herr Hitler, I would not actually be here.
Yeah,
many people
might
say, yes, that's okay, because my father... And so on and so forth, the whole range of things.
I think you also have to really respect it as well. Preserve it in that kind of way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Nick, any questions from your photographer aspect to Anna Lewis in Jersey? Have you ever shot anything in Jersey?
No, I haven't. Oh. No. I think when we spoke last, my only kind of connection with Jersey is obviously Bergerac, Anna. That's the only one. And obviously the German occupation, of which... Quite a fan is not the right word, but I have a fascination with World War II, big time.
Have you?
Yes, oh, I do.
Right. Have you? There are two websites that come to mind. There's a really good one. Well, it's not really good, actually. It's a bit creepy. It's called Festung Guernsey. I know it's my sister island, but they're very into bunkers and trenches and things like that. And they send cameras down the bunkers and film and.
Oh,
the only thing that bothers me is the font that they use, which is a bit Gothic German, and it looks a bit what's the word?
Third Reich.
Nazi. Yes.
Yeah, we're looking at it now, actually, Anna, and I tend to agree.
It's the blackness of it all, and
that's quite bleak in many ways. And if we actually pull
it
up
the
various that's Festung, for those people who are actually interested in the whole range of things. So we're not getting anything through there at all. Yes, there we are, a whole range of architectural things. Well, there we are. Just goes to show
wonderful
sort of range of things you can watch. Once again, Anna, you've actually proven you can actually deal with the controversial topics as opposed to the less controversial ones.
I know.
Yeah, see, that's why you're a regular on the show, dear. You know, I'm so glad you used Facebook to connect with me. Otherwise, who knows, this would never have been restored.
I know. it's one of those chants that have stood by.
All those days in Dulwich, and we could never have actually done it, and suddenly it's a whole new world.
It was fun.
Well, I feel they still are, actually, Anna, even though, you know, it's, life continues in its own way. And maybe Jessica might sort of continue and sort of say, is it still fun, Jessica?
Of course.
Well, that's all right, then. That's fine. So, just a word on the whole system. OK, coming up, Stephen Leatherland, who's the director and producer of the current tour Magical Mozart by Moonlight, which features a whole range of wonderful, talented individuals whom we'll be hearing about in this World on Stage limited production, an evening of Mozart masterpieces, going from the wonderful joys of Scarborough right the way through to Maidstone, Scunthorpe and Paisley on March the 1st, but a whole heap of other goodies coming through on that basis, not attending Jersey. So we'll try and put that right, Anna, so you can have Magical Mozart by candlelight. I don't think they work. I mean, we'll get Bill Coles back on in a couple of weeks' time to actually address these whole things, but I'll try them once again. Have you ever been pursued by a wild animal, Anna Lewis?
I have. Not so wild as wild. It was actually a St Bernard dog that decided I was another dog, and it came to me, paws askew, and I was sort of pinned against a wall with this dog, thinking I was another dog, and it was very embarrassing.
Probably getting excited, wanting to mate with you.
And I'll tell you what,
social faux pas.
Those dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
I should have said wrong species.
Listen, you know, I once had a poodle attempt to mate with my leg, and that had to be peeled off. So, you know, a St. Bernard. It's amazing. You know, you can only go so far, you know. Not even in the wildest dreams would the Who have actually decided to have mating dogs on stage. It's just not going to happen. Interesting, mind that. And the next one is, have you ever tasted any sour milk?
Sour milk, yes.
Yeah. It's
horrible,
yes and yes.
Horrible.
We are. Who knows? Maybe this might work. Maybe it might replace the classics. I don't think so, somehow. Anna Lewis, you will return. Take care now.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Almost the perfect drive time accompaniment to the Marriage of Figaro overture there by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and possibly featured in Magical Mozart by Candlelight, an evening of Mozart masterpieces. Who could possibly be behind this? Well, perhaps the same genius who's looked after Over the Rainbow, the Eva Cassidy story, The Naked Truth, the Billie Holiday story, a Viennese Strauss gala, Live in La Vida Loca, Complete Wives of Henry VIII, and A Slice of Saturday Night can only be the truly fantastic solo is Stephen Leatherland. How are you, Stephen?
After that, I'm absolutely on the floor. Thank you very much.
Well, you know...
But I'm nothing compared to the genius of Mozart himself, and such a shame that he didn't live to his full potential.
Well, I mean, we frequently hear that he was a rock and roll star of his generation, and obviously the stage play Amadeus gave a lot of people, and indeed the subsequent motion picture had a lot of people sort of thinking about, is it Salieri who kind of did for him, and all the other sort of factors within that. But the music that's there, well, I was talking with a couple of the guests who are with us in the studio now, ace rock music photographer, I was going to say Stephen Elliott there for a moment. No, it's Nick Elliott.
Together.
Exactly. And publicist and of course our very own Jessica Ward. But in terms of the thing, what sort of brought you to this particular production to bring it to obviously a whole range of activities in terms of magical Mozart by candlelight?
Well, I mean, obviously, we were looking for a follow-on show to our Viennese Strauss Gala, which had been very, very successful and had dealt with, obviously, the Strauss repertoire, and in particular a lot of the operettas. And what I wanted to do was to create a show which not only highlighted music, but also highlighted the songs from all the famous operas, Don Giovanni and Così fan tutti, etc. That was kind of the back of the fag packet idea. But then I went to Vienna, and found out a lot more about Mozart and the fact that he'd written over 600 different works and in such an incredibly short time. And what I wanted to do was to bring... But he was a very frivolous character, really. You know, people kind of think of Mozart as being very, very highbrow, but he was very playful. And all of his work is full of lots of innuendo, because I think it's fair to say he was a pretty sexual character as well. And that was something I wanted to uncover within the show. And how we started is, to give away some of it, is that we start with the Requiem, which he almost finished, which you could literally say, you know, he gave his life for that piece. And some of the ghosts of his past, which we recreate in the show, before moving on to some of the other operas and the pieces within it. And we've got an amazing ensemble.
Well, I was just looking at some of the cast here. We've got the fabulous Lili, or Lili, just want to check the pronunciation there, in terms of a Chinese-born soprano now based in the UK. Is it Lili?
Lili, yes.
Lili, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
She has just been everywhere. I mean, she did a song with Christopher Lee, of all people, but she's also done stuff.
I'm just very impressed with the fact that she sang at Eurosport TV's Super Combat in December 2013, singing Ness and Dorma. Fantastic.
That's one of her big claims to fame, actually. Yeah.
Genius.
And she's performed all over the world in Abu Dhabi and Brazil and all these different places. And then we've got the Bulgarian opera singer, Diana Vasileva, who is the doyen of the Bulgarian Opera House. And we've got David Miller-Pierce. We've got an incredible cast and some amazing musicians. Our lead violinist, Petya, she, whenever Nigel Kennedy goes on tour around Europe, she's his first violinist. And they're all in the Baroque costumes. And what we're trying to do is kind of create that little bit of Vienna of the time, in terms of the costumes and the candlelight. And I think I've been very, very pleased with the reaction we get. I mean, I didn't expect to get standing ovations for a show of this ilk, but it's really been getting great receptions and great reviews. And I'm very, very proud of it, I have to say.
We were just speaking to our Jersey correspondent, Anna Lewis, and I noticed the Jersey Evening Post probably summed up the whole thing with their phrase, a sublime evening, magical, it certainly was. Fantastic. Even the Newark Advertiser, amazing voices, and the Northern Echo, the show was very enjoyable throughout, even for those who are not fanatical about Mozart or the classical genre. I think the Northern Echo are a little bit sort of, they're a bit low on the thing there, but they are a Darlington-based paper, so you know, say no more. Let's open to the thing. Over to Jessica. Jessica, your thoughts on this? Does it appeal?
Yes, I am very interested in this. I was just saying to Kat that I feel rather ashamed. I haven't listened to classical music in quite a while.
No.
So, I know, shock horror. So, this definitely interests me because it's kind of part of my past. I used to listen to it with my grandma, so,
And part of most of us past, actually. I don't think any of us were actually alive when Mozart was
here.
Unless, of course, it was past lives, but still. Stephen, that must be exciting when you're getting a next generation of folks sort of coming through and still just loving the fantastic stuff.
That's the amazing thing, is that the age group that we're attracting, is very encouraging, from teenagers through to kind of very hip 20, 30-somethings. Right across the board, and they're loving it. Hopefully, also we're opening the door to people that are not familiar with classical music in general, but certainly the operas. We're hopefully presenting them in an exciting and relevant way, which brings them to life, which is, you know, what we always try to do. It's all about generating the audience for tomorrow for whatever genre that we're covering, be it either Cassidy or Billie Holiday or, in this instance, Mozart.
Nick, we spoke, as we said earlier, about how good music will never actually sort of fade away. It's always going to be with us. What are your thoughts on this particular piece? Having worked and obviously extensively within the rock music and worked with a number of legends such as Roger Daltrey and, it's easy to say the ones you haven't worked with, basically, the whole range of things. But what are your thoughts on this particular evening with Mozart?
It has quite a special place in my life, really, because my parents were, well, certainly my father, was very... a big fan of classical, and a lot of my very early years were spent listening to this stuff, Tchaikovsky, 1812, and Swan Lake, the main ones that kind of stand out for me. So it's all part of my makeup, Alex, without a shadow of a doubt.
And Kat?
Oh, I love classical music. Yeah, I used to play in an orchestra, so I'm quite familiar with some of the music there, and putting it together with Baroque costumes and bringing it to life in that kind of way sounds really magical to me. I mean, I'm up for it, definitely.
I think we're already getting over it. Looking at the satellite, do you have a website, Stephen, that people can go to actually keep appraised of where these things are happening?
Yeah, and people like to try before they buy. So if they go to worldonstage.net, look for Mozart on there and all the tour dates are there, and they can see little video excerpts as well, which will give them a flavour of what it is they're going to see. And the interesting that, you know, he really was the kind of the pop and rock man of his age. You know, he was very, gregarious, and he stepped outside of the box. I mean, Magic Flute was shunned really by a lot of his peers. And he went, kind of got down and dirty to do the Magic Flute. And look, it's still, 300 years later, people are still producing it. So I think that says a lot about him.
With beautiful settings, costumes and lighting, and of course candles. The health and safety issue there, possibly with candles. But I'm sure you've looked after that, Stephen, because, you know...
I have to say battery operated, but they do flicker.
Very smart.
Otherwise, we'd need about five firemen on stage.
Well, exactly. You know, if you try to recreate the whole thing, I'd say don't do it with candles in the theatre. You could be heading for carnage. Don't know what's there. The European Baroque Ensemble and Singers transport you back to the sumptuous past in the magical Mozart by candlelight. Isn't that a wonderful sort of package? A world on stage there, and of course, Wolfgang Amadeus in sort of full force there.
Looks great.
Looking through excited, are we? I mean, I can't believe actually today, as we speak, you are in Stockport. Who would have thought you'd have Mozart in Stockport? Sorry, Stockport, but it made me smile, Stephen. You know, I thought Mozart in Stockport.
We are crusaders that are trying to take the word out everywhere.
Absolutely.
You know, the Isle of Man to Solihull, Stockport.
Exactly. Shrewsbury, the Theatre 7, the Isle of Man, Gaiety Theatre, the Cannock, Prince of Wales Theatre. They're all on details. We've got the website there. Do check out worldonstage.net. It's been fabulous touching base with your good self. I feel actually as we kind of followed the tour of the Over the Rainbow, the Eva Cassidy story, we should probably do a similar sort of thing with respect to the magic of Mozart in all sorts of ways. But Stephen, first of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the show? Has it been okay for yourself?
It's been a great, great debut, and I'd like to repeat it at another juncture. I've got lots of other shows that are coming. Next thing on the horizon is Jurassic Adventures.
Jurassic Adventures.
So, as we speak, I've got T-Rexes on their way to the UK.
So, not real ones. Dinosaurs on stage.
Oh, my goodness.
Dinosaurs on stage, yeah, Jurassic
Adventures.
It just
gets better, doesn't it?
It's astounding. Yes, Stephen Leatherland will return. That's fantastic stuff there. Also, hats off to your PA, who realised that it was a live interview and couldn't really leave a message. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been the same magic, really. So, good stuff there.
And actually, she is a celebrity herself who was in incognito, but I'll leave that for now.
Yeah, we'll save that. We'll save that. As I thought I recognised the sort of dulcet tones there, but it was much better than the answer phone, which was the first thing we actually got. I thought, where are we going here? It's marvellous.
Okay.
Stevenson, right. Fabulous, we'll speak again. Mozart Forte to take us up to the news. What do you think?
Sounds perfect.
Splendid. Well done. The first official news team put together of January, effectively. So great stuff there. As ever, time to press this button now.
Thunderbirds, James Bond, Stanley Kubrick, Meryl Streep, Joan 90, Doctor Who, Batman Begins, Superman, The Three Martinis, The Three Deuces, and Dick's Banner. Who needs anything more to welcome the legendary Shane and Sheila Rimmer to the midweek drive?
Yay! Fantastic.
He's gone mad. Absolutely mad. He's gone off his... Hello?
Shane, as ever...
How do they not keep me in captivity? I'm threatened to break out all the time, but I still haven't made it.
Oh, no, you know, we're still... You will be joining us in Lincoln on May the 6th this year. I know we're still
seeing
stuff.
Yes, indeed.
That's great stuff. There.
That'll be a hoot, yes.
Well, it will. But...
I still haven't been into the cathedral, so that's one thing I would love to... climb up that hill is very...
I think we can look at ways of working through that process. But
do you?
Whilst the news was on and Jessica was in deep conversation with our ace photographer, Nick Elliott, Kat and myself, of course, ace publicist, we're having a look at the photographs on Facebook, obviously, of our adventures at Doncaster Racecourse for Digicon.
I'm curious
if Jessica, who's been travelling from the Isle of Man to Auschwitz to Krakow to all sorts of things, most New Zealand fine souls would do, hadn't quite connected with the fact that you're actually there. By the way, we also need to send out a Get Will shout soon to Emma Tinson.
I can't keep up with him, you know. He's going about 85 miles an hour.
Anyway, to go back to the photos, they were really nice.
Well, thank you, Sheila. Exactly.
What do you think?
We've
got a nice camera there.
We've got a professional photographer with Nick Elliott here, so I'm just going to run him through some of the photographs. Now, there's a shot of Shane holding up his wonderful official certificate. Yes, he's certified as well.
Oh, yes.
By the dark
I've got
side.
It here on the board somewhere.
It's very good indeed. And you can see there the certificate. The Dark Alliance proudly acknowledges your efforts and contributions to the Star Wars universe and bestows upon you the title of honour. Henceforth known, you shall be known as Shane Rimmer, AHM018.
What's AHM? That's the other way around.
It is extraordinary. Presented, of course, on the 10th of January, 2015. May the dark side serve you well.
Well, I hope so, because the weather isn't. I've never been so cold in my life as I was up at Doncaster. People were terrific, which is a good thing. They were the only warmth we found in the whole shebang. I mean,
it was blustery. Needless to say, Ed Wellman took the photograph of me looking most bemused there. But you see, again, another location. I mean, Jessica, obviously, you were missed on this location report. But never mind. Those are some of the things we get up to. And that's one where we actually have a glamour puss right in the middle there. Sheila Rimmer. Exactly. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Sheila in full force there. So that's the line from that perspective. Moving on to a few other sort of activities that were going on there. Sam Stone and some of the other sort of key folk.
Yeah.
I've jumped into the London Boat Show by mistake. I'll move to another sort of system, etc. But what are the views then, Nick, about some of the images we got here at the Doncaster Digicon, many of whom will be appearing on the Midweek Drive as we actually head through the upcoming weeks? So what are your thoughts, Nick?
There's some lovely little shots there.
That's
a good gig.
Fairy tale princesses and, of course, Long Shot. What a perfect way to have Ed Wellman holding up Long Shot, available as an e-book and online at present.
Wonderful.
The only thing we didn't get to happen was a 100-yard dash.
I figured actually...
I thought you were going to...
You're interrupting Nick.
I'm terribly sorry. Sorry.
Listen to your wife. Go on. Pay attention, Steve. Pay attention.
Okay.
It's quite all right, Sheila. You know, we can sort of cross over. It's like it's you know, Scott Tracy.
Alex is used to this. It's all right.
Nicely.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
So overall, though, apart from the wind, which was quite blustery, and clearly I didn't manage to connect with you on the Sunday because I felt we had to go off and do a few other bits and pieces. How did the weekend go for your good self?
Very good. It was good. Yeah.
Excellent. That's
Sunday was much quieter, but I think I was pleased to find out that the people who were signing for Star Wars didn't sell as many photographs as Shane.
Well, of course not. I mean, look, it's Star Wars versus Thunderbirds and James Bond.
Well, these unexplained things happen every once in a while.
And even more excitement, Nick, Shane has actually been in an episode of The Persuaders.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, top man.
I really enjoyed that.
Fantastic.
Hey.
Yeah,
didn't you write it?
That was The Protectors, yeah. Sheila.
I wrote The Protectors. What did she say? She said something.
Easily confused, but, you know, a little hint, Sheila.
Every time I come on this program, I get confused. I don't know who's doing the main track. Anyway, go ahead.
If you wish to find out, obviously, more about Shane's fantastic career, then simply go and purchase a copy of From Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls, now available in paperback or indeed as an audiobook.
Can I ask what the Thunderbird connection is?
Oh, Lord. Voice of Scott Tracy. Voice of Scott Tracy.
Really?
Yes.
That was teeth. Really?
You already primed him on that, Alex.
I'm sorry, Sheila. I thought he'd read the production notes.
God, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy.
This is neglect of a high order. You know, this is...
Fantastic.
Yes, without Shane vocalising the whole sequence, then certainly no Thunderbird Scott Tracy at all. Or indeed a whole heap of
Do the line, please. Do the line. Do a line.
Make my day.
Fantastic. Wow. That's marvellous. Absolutely marvellous.
You can forget actually working with Def Leppard or Twitter or Aerosmith in an elevator, yes. Clearly.
Oh, dear. Thunderbirds, such a major part of my life, really. Terrible.
50 years.
Really?
Since Thunderbirds were formatted.
Yeah, well, of mine too. I never had such an extraordinarily happy year in all my life. There's something about it. When something starts to go well, and when it's going around the world as it started to do and did, there's a lovely buoyancy around the whole place. It really was terrific.
And we can see, obviously, From Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls online as well from that point of view. And it does have such a resonance. Now, Jessica, have you ever seen an episode of Thunderbirds?
I did when I was little, but...
Well, that's good. That's good. It made it to New Zealand, then.
Yes, it did. My dad was a big fan.
Good to hear.
Oh, he was.
Wonderful.
Yes. Well, they got some good things going out on in Australia, aside from...
No, don't say the A word. No, please.
Not Australia.
New Zealand.
Shane, it was going so well until you set up that diplomatic incident. You know, it's New Zealand all the way.
I picked up my cues. Yes, I did a film there called, what was it called? The monster, the sea monster. Queenstown. Was it Queenstown right down at the bottom?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, we stayed there. Yes. It's very much like Canada maybe a century ago. I only mean that. Everybody helps everybody. There's a great communal spirit, and the country is absolutely glorious. I loved it.
I tell you what, he loves the New Zealand wine.
Oh, yes, of course.
Australia doesn't even get a look in on that one.
As I'm afraid so, yeah.
Well, that makes perfect sense then. Fantastic. I'm just pulling up some Thunderbirds pictures because, of course, we're actually not too far away from the new TV series launching, but that's great stuff. But also even more exciting news, which actually, Sheila, you managed to release to me, that this year's AnderCon is going to be held not in London, but in Leicester.
That's right. I can give you the dates if you like.
I think we'd like to have those dates. We didn't manage to connect with Jamie at London or indeed your good self last year. So the dates, I believe they're in June?
Yes, they are.
Okay, and they are?
June 13th and 14th.
And 15th.
No, 13th and 14th, Saturday 13th. And Sunday, at a wonderful place called the Athena Cinema, which is a 1920s old, restored, beautiful retro cinema, and they use it for conventions and weddings, so obviously they're not the seat.
I'll get you a pass, Alex, so you can get into the place. Is that all right?
Oh, he's famous. He gets in everywhere, doesn't he?
I was only kidding, you know. I know he gets in everywhere, McDonald's and all these places.
I have to say that you provided the ultimate source of joy at DigiCon, because you looked after
any little helps.
Looked after who?
You looked after not only my coat, but you also looked after Spike, the official Midweek Drive mascot, which Jessica's had the privilege of actually holding.
Spike,
always important. I'm just ShaneRimmer.com, as you can see. There we are, Shane in The Spy Who Loved Me, a whole range of other things, but Shane as his alter ego there, the yet-to-be-born Scott Tracy.
Terrific.
Because obviously it's set in the
20th. You know we're going to Scarborough. Wonderful. Are we going to see you up there? Or is that too far for you?
Is anywhere too far on the planet, Sheila, if it's a chance to speak with your good self and Shane? I mean, that's the key thing. That's honest. Even the Norwegian fjords shouldn't have been enough. But no, you're quite right. Sci-Fi Scarborough, we haven't spoken about this as yet, but it's the 14th to the 15th of March at the Spa in Scarborough, North Yorkshire. Jessica, do you think you'd be around for that, to actually join us on a location sort of trip to Scarborough?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, really lovely. Nice.
Yeah, so I think
you'll never forget it.
Now, I should tell you another little nugget.
Oh!
I love telling you things you may not know. That Sanderson,
yes,
which is the fan club,
mm-hmm,
they're doing their convention in October. And they're doing it at the in Maidenhead in the Holiday Inn.
Genius.
So that's October, yeah, September. Yeah. 2nd to the 4th.
I mean, it is, Sheila, very much, and I know Ed, it was his, I think he'd been to Sci-Fi London with me, and I haven't experienced too many of these events and conventions, but there's so much fun there, and in
they
all
are,
sorts of
yeah.
ways. There's a general sort of fun from that perspective. I mean,
yeah.
We spoke with Jessica, I think, back in October, November. I know you were looking forward to meeting Carrie Elwes, amongst others, from the Prince's Bride
at
one of the events. Sadly, we didn't manage to get that to manifest it, so your day will come. You get a chance to meet Shane Rimmer. It's always good. He's Prince Charming.
I've just found the big sheet that I printed off that was under Shane's papers that says Shane Wednesday Alex with exclamation marks.
Hmm. There we are, you see. It's not as though we just sort of get a random rehearsal and sort of book these shows as, let's just phone somebody up at random.
You know? Yes.
Who knows?
All
we might have even spoken to Flynn. Because we have to ask the question, given that we've already spoken on the show about St. Bernard dogs and poodles attempting to mate with you, something which I'm glad Flynn probably wouldn't do, how is Flynn the terrier?
Flynn is wonderful.
Excellent.
Very happy.
That's what we like to hear. Yeah,
so. He almost attacked the bus and... What are those dogs, those big dogs? Ruby?
The various
boxer.
Sort of
boxer.
Oh, right. Yeah, so feisty. A feisty, sir.
And he could have eaten them.
You know. Steady shade.
Anyway, it all got resolved.
It's important.
Did I send you the email photo of Flynn?
As a Christmas card? Yes,
yeah.
Sheila. It's wonderful.
I'll try and
sort it out for that. We'll have that online. It is. You should actually put a photograph of Flynn on the ShaneRimmer.com website as well, actually.
You reckon?
I think so. Well, it opens up a whole new market, you know,
yes,
the canine market.
All the dogs in the world.
Yeah, never underestimate the canine market. I know Gerry Anderson didn't have many canines in his outfits and his shows, but at the end of the day, you know, there's a market.
It mounts up, doesn't it?
Yeah, but his wife, Mary, breeds, I think, great big dogs.
Yeah. Lurchers,
a cross between a greyhound and some other beast. I've never quite sussed out as yet, but still.
You're a walking encyclopedia, aren't you?
Well, you have a way with words, Sheila, and that's just one way we get to use to describe the whole thing. Nick, any questions you want to put to Shane or Sheila, of course, who started her career as one of the fantastic singers in the Three Martinis.
Dancers.
Oh, is it dancers?
Singers,
have you ever heard her sing? You would never say that.
That doesn't ring any bells with me,
but she's done a whole heap of other goodies. In fact, once put together Shane and Michelle Monroe and Sheila. Fine show. Oh, we could reminisce so much as we approach 5 minutes past 6 o'clock here at Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's award-winning community radio station. But time needs to move on. We need to plug Sci-Fi Scarborough. It's the 14th to the 15th of March 2015 at the Spa in Scarborough, North Yorkshire. You can go to sci-fi-scarborough.co.uk. We'll look to do a follow-up with respect to that as well. Next week on the show, Shane, we might even be speaking. folk who were at DigiCon.
Yes.
And also, coming up soon, the young lady and author who was sitting next to you in the actual signing page. That was Sam Stone, exactly.
Yeah.
Sam will be in the studio in 2 weeks from now. And she's also provided some wonderful music for my daughter, who's actually quite a keen musician, which will also be featuring. So great news there. And so Sam Stone.
She writes some weird books.
Nicely weird books. Yeah, exactly.
Not nasty weird books.
No, they are very good. Much like Longshot, available, of course, by Shane Rimmer and available to purchase on Amazon for a snippet. It's fantastic.
I love this.
An e-book. It's Longshot.
Have you read it, by the way?
I I'll be quoting from it when we do the next phone link because it's got golf, it's got spy, it's got spy industry, it's got golf. It's like a thriller set on a golf course and beyond. What's not to love?
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
I have. I think it's got the words desperately keen to be a major motion picture very, very soon. I think if Spielberg's got his team out there, he'll be optioning it as soon as.
Well, I'd quite like a publisher to publish it rather than having it in electronic form.
Can you expedite that? I'll do my best, Sheila. You know,
thank
I mean,
you.
We'll, it's important from that sort of perspective. Kat, any thoughts or questions from yourself?
Yeah, I've got one quick question, actually. Shane, you seem to be very accomplished as an actor there. You've obviously got James Bond in your portfolio of work, as well as the...
Three Bond movies.
Three Bond movies.
Diamonds
wow.
Are Forever, You Only Live Twice,
we
Spy
are
Who
not
Loved
worthy.
Me.
Yeah. We're just not worthy. My question, Shane, is going to be,
yes.
Has there been a highlight to this illustrious career that you've had?
So let's see, that goes from Doctor Strangelove with Stanley Kubrick through to Superman 3.
I think Kubrick and the Bond, the last Bond, the Spy Who Loved Me.
Right.
They were both beautiful people to work, all beautiful people to work with. They considered an actor more than just about any other director or producer I could think of, and they produced very good stuff, so I was happy.
I would say that every time he got a job in a film, that was a highlight.
Oh, that was a highlight, yes.
Yeah, well, that's why we're looking at it,
We're looking at Michael Winner, Irving Kershner, Norman Jewison, Lewis Gilbert, Kevin Conner, Piers Haggard, Warren Beatty, Richard Attenborough, Dick Lester, Tony Scott, Charlton Heston. You know, a few names there you may have heard
just
of, Tony. I'll get the names sorted through there. Nick, Tony Scott, you see. It's easily confused.
Yeah.
So that's before we even go to the sort of the television side. Yeah. I mean, you know, television credits story, you know, from Clump Come Fly With Me in 1958. My word, that was a classic in its own way.
You should say that softly because you should have a little bit of reverence for that because I've been around here for so long.
And look
ridiculous.
At that, The Persuaders, 1972, where you were Lomax in Element of Risk. So.
Oh, yes. Coronation Street.
Who could forget Coronation Street?
Well, now you're
twice.
Exactly, and Doctor Who. You know, just generally, sort of an all-round sort of soul from that point of view. So, and that's, you know, 77. Oh Lord, there's so many sort of areas we could actually go to on that side of things. Super. Oh, I mean, Shane and Sheila, it's been so wonderful. Even though Emma Tinson quite likes the two questions we kind of substituted, came from a fine writer called Bill Coles, William Coles, which is, have you ever been chased by a wild animal?
Yes, we have.
Which one?
Years ago when we were in...
Your father. No.
Yeah, when we were in Turkey. And we got
wild dog.
Yeah, we had some substance. Somebody got us to pass.
Oh dear!
And
we didn't do that. Don't say that.
You're not on broadcast there. Please.
And Shane was convinced that wild dogs were chasing us.
Yeah, and there you have it. Shane and Rackney, Sheila Rimmer.
That's what it was, Racky. Yeah, that.
Don't
go near it, ever.
No, do not touch
Racky. Inside or outside of Turkey,
clearly,
don't do it.
Clearly, it's not going to happen. And the other question, who knows, it might replace, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat and now they're coming back again. Have you ever tasted sour milk?
Yes, isn't it repulsive?
We get it every Thursday here in the house.
There you have it. And we can actually say, in terms of the connectivity, as you're based in Potter's Bar, lo and behold, one of our other features that we had earlier in the production, Stephen Netherland's magical Evening of Mozart production, is actually featured at the Williots Theatre, or the Wiley Yachts Theatre.
The Williots.
The Williots Theatre Centre, Potter's Bar on February the 1st.
Oh. Yeah. Very nice.
I mentioned that, and who knows what sort of delightful.
It's a lovely little theatre, and they have some very good stuff there. There's a very strong touring kind of a bunch that go around, and they keep these theatres open all the time.
He's talking about performers, bunch of people touring around like himself.
Well, it happens. I well remember Shane's performance at the Newcastle Theatre Royal, which was splendid.
Not a bunch of people.
I'm having trouble at this end, Alex. So you have to take over.
I think interference is breaking into the whole thing. What the hey? I take it you've both had a reasonably interesting telephonic link, and you'll be back with us before we know when you will return. Is that right?
Very well.
Make sure you send us an email.
A round of applause for Shane and Sheila Rimmer.
Yes,
without which, exactly.
And to you.
Mm-hmm. I will bring you flowers in the morning, wild roses as the sun begins to shine, sweet perfume in tiny jeweled caskets. If I thought you'd ever change your mind, I would take you where the music's sweetest, feed you winter fruits and summer wine, bring you happiness wrapped up in a box and tied to the yellow bow. I will bring you rainbow skies and summer rain to make your garden grow, and in the winter snow my songs will keep you from the cold. I will bring you flowers in the morning, wild roses when the sun begins to shine, winter fruits and summer wine, sweet perfume and color.